champion.
There it is. If you both decide, you are both the Olympic champion. They don't have to take the jump off. So Basham from Qatar and Tamberi of Italy share the gold. It's never happened in Olympics or World Championship history. Tintoglu for Greece. In he comes. Final attempt. Can he get himself back on the podium? Oh, can he get himself on the podium? He might move into the lead. So Echevarria, 8.41. Never won a medal. 8.41. 8.41 is in front of a countback.
To count back or not to count back, the difference between the high jump and the long jump. Dave Colbert is calling these for us at Channel 7, and we couldn't be in better hands. Dave, great to have you on SEN.
Hey, Jared, how are you going?
All right, so this international debate, the sharing of a gold medal has provoked the very nature of the Olympic spirit or the betrayal of the true nature of sports. Where do you sit?
Well, there is a countback. In both of those events, there's a countback. In the long jump, it goes back to the next best jump. So you go back to the immediate jump, who jumped the longest on their second best. And in the case of the Greek, he jumped 8.15, and in the case of the Cuban, he jumped 8.09, so it's separated. And that continues back all the way. So, you'd go to the third best and the fourth best jump, etc. So very rare that there's a tie in an event like the long jump. In the high jump, there's also two countbacks. So you go back to the previous height. What attempt did they clear it on? And in the case of Tamberi and Basham, they both went clear. First attempt at 2.37. And then you do total misses. Now, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but they started at the opening height of 2.19, I think, and they jumped at every height. So they had a lot of jumps. They probably had 9 jumps, and all of them, they didn't have a miss in 9 jumps. And it's very rare that you would have that situation, or the alternate that if you add up the misses, that they ended up on the same number. It does happen. It happened with Steve Hooker in Beijing in the pole vault, where he and Lukianenko both had the same number of misses. So two athletes that have had a superb competition, they haven't had a miss all the way up to a absolutely world-class height at 2.37, which they clear. I'm okay with them sharing the gold medal. If there was any sense, I'll put a caveat, if there was any sense that it was manufactured, that they missed a height because they knew that they were going to contrive an outcome, then the answer would be no way. I wouldn't be up for it. And I actually think that the World Athletics Federation will change the rule so that if you can't be split after the two methods, you share the gold, so that we don't have this debate. So, no, I'm happy with it. And I thought that the record books will show two deserving gold medalists.
It was quite beautiful. So I'm all in on it. I understand the opposing view, but I'm all in on it. As it was unfolding, and I suspect these will be one of the dozen images of the game, is the two men coming together and hugging and then being on the podium together and presenting their gold medals to each other. I found it heartwarming.
Yeah, and what, like all of us, the IWF rule book is a big book. And it, unfortunately, in these modern days, it's no longer printed. So you've got it on your iPad. It's not an easy thing to navigate. It's over 300 pages. I had the countback rules there, and I actually went through them with one of my close friends who's an international technical official, getting on a TV time, Brian Rowe from Tassie, to go through the scenarios. What we didn't go through is what happens if they can't be separated in the jump-off. But it is clear in there that there's three reasons why the technical official can decide no jump-off for whatever reason. The circumstances of the competition might mean that it needs to finish, gets dark, thunderstorm, whatever. Or the athletes can decide at any time during the jump-off. So you could have three jumps in a jump-off and then decide. Now, I reckon that's probably stretching the friendship a bit. But the two athletes themselves didn't know, did they? When they were talking with the official, Basham said, so two gold medals? And the official says, it's possible.
Yes.
And then they decide to shake hands and share the gold. I just thought it was fantastic.
What drama to play out at the Olympics, no less.
Yeah.
I had this idea that it would all be a bit more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, well, it happened. And that's what we love about it, isn't it? Well, that's what we love about live sport and this, reality TV at its best. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds. You don't have any idea what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds. And, in the long jump, Tintoglu, the Greek, You know, he had to jump 8:41, and the Cuban was injured. He couldn't take another jump, and he's got the gold medal. There's no way in the world a guy's going from 8:15 to 8:41, and he sails down and jumps exactly the same distance. Measure out 8:41 and work out how it's possible to have not 1 centimetre to separate the two of you. And then you've got to go to a countback to separate them. So that's a situation where you've got one guy's now the Olympic champion and the other guy's got Olympic misery for the rest of his life because he's going to wake up in a cold sweat thinking, how close was I?
Is there any part of you that comes away from that going, actually, do you know what, given what we just lived through, dual gold medalist is a better result than that countback?
No, because you've had the countback. There is a countback. So I'll go back to it in the pole vault again. Two methods of countback. Previous height, that's why we were so excited for Mitchell Stark, 2:35 first attempt, and we'll see it in the pole vault, men's pole vault final tonight. If Curtis Marshall, when the height of the bar gets to the right height, whatever it might be in the competition, if he gets it on his first attempt, all of a sudden your medal chances escalate significantly.
Yep.
And Mitchell Stark's 2:35, almost every game, that's a medal. First attempt, 2:35, you're in the box seat, and then all of a sudden the competition lights up and everyone's getting up and over.
Yeah. There have been extraordinary field events so far. As watching Matt Denny with you on the first evening, what was it, Saturday night, just every time throwing further and further. And then you keep bringing it back to just think about how high or long this is or how narrow you've just missed a medal by.
5 centimetres in the discus. It's the smallest margin error from fourth to third. Ridiculously small margin. And yeah, he put on a superb competition. Personal best, only athlete in the field to throw a personal best. The rest were probably 2 or 3 metres down on their lifetime best. And he's still a young guy. And, fourth in the Olympic Games is the worst position of all time to finish in. He can be very proud of what he does, as have a lot of our athletes. Jared, one of the things that we look for as an insider in the sport that's been really disappointing in Australian athletics for a long period of time is the athletes that aren't able to achieve a season's best or a personal best in a major championship. We've had 8 athletes already do personal bests. And, Rowan Browning in the 100. Peter Bowles, how great is he? He's done 2 already, 2 national records. Matt Denny did 1. Ben Buckingham in the steeplechase. Steve Solomon. Alex Beck. Riley Day last night was superb. Liz Clay. Personal best at the Olympic Games. I don't care if you finish first or 51st. If you do a personal best, then you have achieved everything you can at that particular point in your life, and hats off to you.
Yep, we went through the list this morning of just how narrow the margins have been against those excellent times as just missing finals and the like. Hey, just so a couple of the quirks. So you're our guy for this. So we've been having the same conversations at home that you've been having in your mind and with us. How about the covers on the circle when the rain fell last night, which would have been sort of D-grade cricket? If you're at your D... We've got this idea of Japan as the technological centre of the world, and they're running out clear plastic sheets to put over the circles.
Well, it was a hydroponic setup. I thought they were going to grow something. It was... you're right. Like, when you think of the equipment in athletics, there's everything, isn't it? They put the high jump covers up, they do, there's all sorts of things. And they were bringing out bits of perspex and towels and all sorts of things. So, no, that needs to be reviewed, no doubt.
Safety pins? Why?
There's another thing that needs to be reviewed. I'm not sure if you're going to ask me, but the sand.
Yes. Tell me about the sand.
The sand in the pit looks like it's come from the last time Mount Fuji erupted, which was 1707. It was a while ago. But it is nasty looking stuff, isn't it? It's black. But apparently that's the nature of volcanic, the soil in Japan. It's blacker because of the volcanoes, but it's not as aesthetically pleasing, that's for sure. I'm glad I don't have to jump in it.
Why are safety pins still being used at the Olympics to pin your number on?
Can't be explained. It's not able to be explained. And we've discussed this in depth, Bruce and Tamsin and I and our athletics friends and all of those people. Can't be explained that in 2021, the cyclists stick them on, the triathletes print them on. The bib number sort of separates them from an official's perspective, but surely you just print Browning on the top of your singlet, don't you?
Yes.
And that's it?
It's been so
funny.
Can't
be explained, Jared.
And the pressure,
I don't have an answer for that one.
And the pressure on the starting blocks, which is a little more serious, and not necessarily the false starts, but the cautions and the like. How have you read that scenario?
They've gone too far there. And in the US trials, they had one race, the women's 400 semi-final, I think it was, 400 hurdle semi-final, where they had 8 recalls, and it was 40 degrees, and you know, it's ridiculous. So the way it works is that the pressure on the blocks is there to determine the false starts, and the starter will get a tone in the ear if an athlete has gone, you know, before the point one. But they also get a tone in the ear if an athlete is jittery or is putting, you know, too much backward pressure on the blocks before they take off. Isn't that part of the starting technique? If you can get that right, that you can put backward pressure on your blocks without moving forward and releasing before the gun, isn't that what the start's supposed to be? Designed to get away quickly. So too much of that. And I think that they've wound it back. We've seen much less of the false starts in the last, you know, being recalled in the last day than we did early. It wasn't acceptable. And at this level, you know, the athletes have done too much to get to that point to have 5 or 6 restarts before they actually get the race underway.
Dave, can you set us up for what's coming today in the field events?
I can, and it's another big day. So Kelsey Lee Barber, our world champion, goes in the qualifying round this morning. She hasn't been in super form, but same with Catherine Mitchell, you know, the veteran, the Commonwealth Games gold medalist. She only needed one throw, but it'll be interesting to see how they go. Later tonight, we've got Curtis Marshall in the men's pole vault final. I talked about that. If he can get the right height, he is a chance. Mondo Duplantis will break the world record most probably. He's got a personal rocket that launches him to the moon. He's unbelievable, the Swede. And one of my favourites, Brooke Stratton's in the long jump final this morning. Brooke's had a terrible run with injuries. She's only really been able to run pain-free for the last 6 weeks. She's gluten intolerant, so it's not easy when you're in an athlete's village and you know, they're pretty well set up. But there's a lot of things that she has to battle with to get to where she's done. Coached by Dad Russell, sister plays for Collingwood in the AFLW. They're a ripping family. She's an absolute cracker, and to get to the final, she's done a great job. I hope she can get into the top 8. I think that she's going to struggle because of the preparation that she's had, but she's as tough as they come, and it's a long jump, Jared, so I'll be up and about for it.
You will indeed. We'll be with you every step of the way. Dave, thanks a lot for your time, and good luck for what's to come.
Good one, Jared.